It's the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast. Here we go. With Malia Jacobson as your host.
Hello, and welcome to the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast. Thank you for being here. I'm your host, sleep and health journalist, Malia Jacobson. As we head into another season, fall, it feels very fitting to center this episode on an important season of life, and it's one that I think doesn't get enough attention. That's menopause, this universal life experience. Yes, it does happen to men too, and that's called andropause. Is, will, or already has affected you or someone close to you at some point, and it can have a profound impact on sleep, as well as many other aspects of our health. Here to talk about that is hormone expert and author, Dr. Carissa Allenott. Dr. Carissa Allenott is a functional medicine practitioner and an expert in bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. She runs a busy clinic in Florida and has helped thousands of patients reach their wellness goals. Her popular book, The Menopause Switch, has already hit Amazon's number one best new releases. As a research scientist, nurse practitioner, business owner, mother of five, wife, and a writer, she truly believes that it's possible to transform your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual life through a focus on healing. And I can't wait to chat with her about this important topic. Here we go. Hello, Carissa. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm really excited to talk to you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, congrats on the launch of your book, The Menopause Switch, which came out last month. That is so exciting.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks. And we actually met a couple of months ago, and I was working on an article for Runner's World and interviewed you about the impact of hormones and how we can optimize our sleep. And so because I have that experience with you, I know that you specialize in helping people deal with all sorts of health problems related to their hormones and work with people on wide scope of health issues from sleep to aging to pain management. So I'm curious, why did you choose menopause as the focus for your book?
So I do a lot of things at my clinic, but out of all the things that I do, I really enjoy treating women who are suffering from menopausal symptoms because it can be so rewarding. So menopause can be totally life-changing for a lot of women. Some women just kind of breeze right through it. It's like nothing ever happened. And some really struggle. I've had a lot of women who came into my office literally crying and begging for help. So when I can turn things around for them, like eliminating their hot flashes, helping them sleep again, even improving their libido and intimacy with their partner. I have some patients who I've helped get off of antidepressants. This is big, so it's just really rewarding for me. I like this area of medicine. I like working with it. And I do have some women who come to my clinic who can't go on hormone therapy, maybe because they had breast cancer that's sensitive to hormones. So in those cases, I had to find alternatives for them, natural treatments that don't involve medication at all, that don't involve hormones. So that's where this book comes in. It offers natural treatments that pretty much any woman can do. Even for those who are on hormone therapy, the techniques involved are great in combination to help women feel even better. So that's why I chose menopause, because I just find it to be really rewarding. And that's it.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and you mentioned hot flashes and some of the other things that people associate with menopause. What are people kind of surprised about in terms of the way that hormones impact their sleep, not just during menopause, but maybe during other life stages as well? I know that there's a link between progesterone and sleep disturbance, and that kind of helps to explain maybe some of the sleep issues that pop up during pregnancy or that women experience at different times in their cycle. Can you talk a little bit about how hormones affect our sleep and then how that comes into play during menopause?
Sure. So as far as other life stages go, I do have a lot of women who come into my clinic who are not menopausal, who are premenopausal, who are still getting their periods pretty regularly. But maybe they're, you know, very heavy or they are very painful. So in that case, sometimes it's often not enough progesterone. That's one of the hormones that your ovaries make along with estrogen and testosterone. And in those women, they do tend to have a lot of problems with anxiety and problems with sleep. So progesterone, it's a very calming hormone. It increases production of neurotransmitters like GABA in the brain that help with sleep. So low levels tend to mean you're not sleeping as well. Higher levels tend to help you sleep. I think a lot of people are surprised that when they find out that it's their hormones or a lack of causing them to not sleep well, they're surprised by that because there's a lot of different factors that come into play. Like I said, low progesterone, there's also low estrogen, you know, in women who are menopausal, that wakes them at night. In fact, a lot of women going through menopause experience levels of estrogen that are too low and then too high. It kind of goes on a roller coaster until estrogen levels drop again, which causes a lot of sleeping problems. Other hormones too, low testosterone can make women feel hot at night, so they tend to wake up. And then there's also cortisol, your stress hormone, that can cause some sleeping difficulties. As far as like hormone therapy goes, something that my patients are surprised with is that once they start taking progesterone by mouth, that helps them sleep. And most don't even need to take their sleep medications anymore. If you use a topical progesterone, like a cream that's prescribed to you, it doesn't have the same effect, but the way that your body metabolizes progesterone when you take it by mouth, it works wonders for sleep. And some women just don't need any other sleep meds at all. I do have some women who have had hysterectomies, so they've had their uteruses removed. And in that case, they don't have to take progesterone. But if someone does have a uterus, you have to take estrogen and progesterone together because the progesterone protects your uterine lining. But even for those who don't have to take it, they do find that they feel a lot better because you do have receptor sites for hormones throughout your whole body, your brain too. So if there's an imbalance going on or, you know, not enough, then you don't feel as good and you don't sleep as good either.
Okay, well, thank you. Thanks for explaining that.
Sure.
Your book has some definitely great information about stress and the way that stress impacts our hormones and our sleep, especially during menopause. Can you talk about that?
Sure. So stress is a big problem in the United States, I think.
Right, especially right now.
Yeah, especially right now. Everyone's stressed out right now. I mean, a little bit of stress is okay, but chronic stress that's ongoing, it can cause a lot of problems. So one hormone that I do want to talk about is cortisol. So cortisol is a stimulating, alerting hormone. It's your body's primary stress hormone. That's the role that gets cortisol most of its attention. And it drives the body's fight or flight response in the presence of a threat or a stressor. And it also helps control the sleep-wake cycle. So as we're talking about this, let's get into the sleep-wake cycle. When it comes to the sleep-wake cycle, there's two important hormones that come into play. There's melatonin, which everyone knows you can take, you know, by mouth over the counter to help with sleep. And there's cortisol. So melatonin, it helps you fall asleep, and cortisol helps you wake up. So the sleep cycle with these two hormones is as melatonin rises later on in the day, then it helps you become sleepy. But in the morning, that level drops and your cortisol rises to help you wake up. So that's the normal sleep-wake cycle. But sometimes chronic stress can cause an imbalance in the two. It can lead to cortisol spiking at night, causing you to wake up, and then you're tired the next day, and this lack of sleep just keeps further promoting it, and it's hard to get out of. In addition, cortisol imbalances, you know, stress hormone imbalances, can interfere with other production of other hormones like progesterone and testosterone. So it can be a big issue. But that's the main, that's one of the main hormones I like to talk about is cortisol, because it's pretty huge when it comes to sleep. And right. a lot of people are suffering from chronic stress, which drives this problem.
Right. And are there therapies that you can, what can you just sort of give a little bit of an overview of therapies that help people manage that?
Oh, absolutely. So I people ask me, you know, how can I sleep better? And I always say, if there's one thing to do, it's to practice stress reduction. So we can't remove stress from our lives, but we can find ways to manage it or perceive it differently. So when it comes to that, I definitely recommend, you know, some mind-body practices like meditation. I used to work at USF, the University of South Florida in Tampa, on some large clinical trials involving mindfulness-based stress reduction. So that's a practice that uses gentle hatha yoga and meditation, some other techniques to help manage stress. So that's one thing that you can do to keep that under control and sleep better.
Right, thank you. So your book talks about switches that we can make to bring about some positive changes. So what are some switches that people can try or some changes that people can make to change the experience of menopause or some of the troublesome aspects of the experience of menopause?
Sure. So I named the book The Menopause Switch, and I organized the switches in the book according to each symptom, because not everyone going through menopause experiences the same thing. Some suffer from hot flashes, some from more vague symptoms like brain fog. So each symptom in the book has a chapter and a switch. So these are things that you can do to help that particular issue. For example, some examples of switches for libido, this is a big one for a lot of women. There's a supplement called maca that can really help with libido. So I mentioned that. There's also a whole chapter on weight gain, which a lot of women experience as they go through menopause as well. And a switch for that would be to go on a higher fat, lower carb diet for weight loss. Because as you get older, your carbohydrate needs go down. So a low carb diet tends to help that. So those are just a couple of the switches, but there's a lot in there, a lot of different things that you can do to treat a lot of different things.
Right. Thank you. And I'd like to ask you a question about progesterone, because you mentioned the effects of progesterone that can be kind of calming, a little bit sedating. So I know for women who are still getting a period regularly or fairly mm-hmm. regularly, you know, the mm-hmm. second part of the menstrual cycle can mm-hmm. Where progesterone dominates. Is that kind of why we tend to feel a little bit more tired and have less energy in the second part of our menstrual cycle? And if that's the case, are there some energy fixes or some kind of things that people can do to boost their energy when they are in that phase of a little bit higher progesterone? Just because that calming and sedating effect can mm-hmm. be a good thing, but then you can definitely feel it when you're a little bit too sedate and you need to get some energy back.
Right. So during the second half of your cycle, your progesterone level does take over. But even though it appears to be higher, sometimes you need, sometimes it's not high enough actually to balance out estrogen. So in women who are still cycling, who are feeling really tired during their second half of their cycle, they tend to actually need more progesterone and not less.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So in that case, it's called estrogen dominance. So if you Google estrogen dominance, then you'll see what I'm talking about. That's very common, very common. Something that you can do to help with that are actually ways of getting the excess estrogen out of your body. So eating a lot of fiber to flush things out. Also, DIM. DIM is an over-the-counter supplement that you can take that will help your body eliminate any estrogen, especially bad estrogen metabolites.
And is that DIM?
DIM, D-I-M. D-I-M. Is in dog, I okay. is in ice cream. Amazon Michael. Yeah, DIM. DIM. It stands for a long lame name. But what it is, it's actually a supplement that contains chemicals from cruciferous vegetables like broccoli and cauliflower. But you'd have to eat like pounds and pounds of these cruciferous vegetables to get the amount that would be found in a supplement. So it does come in a little bit handy. I do have a lot of women, pretty much every woman of female patient of mine is taking DIM, whether they're menopausal or premenopausal, because it can help for both. Either, you know, if they're on hormone therapy, it can be protective, you know, to their breast tissues and other tissues of the body. Where those bad estrogen metabolites can be damaging. And then for premenopausal women, it can help, you know, with the estrogen excess, kind of keeping that down. It'll help their periods become a little bit more manageable and less painful too. And more energy.
All right. Thank you. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask a question about male menopause too. Men experience something similar, just in terms of changing hormone levels and disturbances in their sleep around the same life stage as what a female would. Do you work with men? I mean, I know that your book is geared toward women, but just wanted to throw a little question about men, because I know men also have hormonal things that happen and changes that happen as well. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So men go through menopause too. It's actually called andropause. So as us women get older, then we have shifts in our hormones. Same happens for men. I do have a lot of male patients who come to the clinic for testosterone therapy. That is also very common. I think there's a lot of factors in our environment that are coming into play. More and more men are being diagnosed with low testosterone. So that's something that happens as well. And there are some things that men can do to help improve their testosterone levels naturally. Definitely making sure that they're keeping their body fat percentage at a healthy range, because excess body fat can drive testosterone levels down. Using the weights at the gym, weight training can also help boost testosterone levels. And also taking DIM, that supplement that I just told you about, can help as well, because sometimes their estrogen levels will become too high and testosterone levels go down and they start feeling pretty crummy.
Right. And is there kind of a starter or a guideline dosage that you use for DIM, or is it kind of, are all supplements kind of the same, or is there one that you recommend?
There are some differences. You know, a lot of brands have kind of their own formula, but the dosage that I go by for women is 150 milligrams of DIM, unless they are very estrogen dominant. So, you know, those really heavy periods, sometimes they can take two, so they'll take 300 milligrams. And for men, I start at 300 milligrams. So it's usually 150 milligrams for women, or if they're premenopausal and they're having those really heavy periods, I'll bump it up to 300 milligrams. And then for men, we start at 300 milligrams.
Right. And thank you. And for men with some of those changes that they're experiencing with low testosterone, are those similar to the experiences of menopause in terms of low energy, sleep disturbances, things like that, or is it a totally different thing?
It's a lot of the symptoms are exactly the same. Their energy goes down, their mood goes down. Sometimes they can become really irritable. They're not sleeping as well. Even men have hot flashes too sometimes, believe it or not. So a lot of the symptoms are exactly the same. Low libido. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's helpful to know, especially if you're a woman and you have a male partner around the same age, which I'm sure is the experience of many, many people out there, to have two partners going through something like this at the same time would be quite a roller coaster, quite an adventure. So it's just better if you can help each other through it.
And it's good to keep that in mind too, because sometimes, you know, husbands will come in and they'll be complaining, you know, my wife is moody, but maybe they're going through the same thing too. So they got to get checked too.
Right. Absolutely. Well, your book has a strong focus on nutrition, and it does end with a chapter full of recipes. Can you talk about why you included recipes and how food and nutrition can affect our hormones, especially during this particular life stage?
Diet plays a really big role in our hormone production. So that's why I included the recipes to kind of, my clinic is closed. The line is still ringing. Let me stop. So I included those recipes to kind of give a guide to which, you know, foods are healthy for, you know, hormone balance. My husband's also a chef, so that really helped. We've made some weight loss programs in the past together. We thought it'd be a good fit to kind of bring in my medical side and his, you know, cooking side.
His culinary side, yes. And yeah. His name is Guy, is that right?
Ghee.
Thank you. Yeah. I've emailed with him, but haven't spoken with him. Yes. Okay. So you guys work together to develop these recipes. Are there any common themes or kind of ingredients or superfoods that show up often or that you guys really enjoy working with?
So high fiber, definitely. High fiber foods. So lots of roots and vegetables. I always tell people, you know, when you're preparing your vegetables, keep those peels on because it's more fiber. Also low carb for sure. Focusing on healthy fats and less processed foods, more whole ingredients, more whole foods. If it doesn't look like it came out of the ground, then you probably shouldn't put it in your mouth. It's probably not good for you.
Right. Well, yeah, it was neat to look through your book and find that, those recipes in there too. It was a nice addition, a great way to end the book.
Great.
And so I can hear your phone still ringing, so I don't want to keep you too much longer, but you mentioned, you know, how people can improve their sleep. What's one thing that you wish everyone would do, not just during the menopause or andropause stage of life, but throughout life to just sleep better?
It's hard to pick one thing. Can I pick two?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So cutting down on your technology use before bedtime is pretty huge. So kind of avoiding all these bright lights and screens, which are, you know, very overstimulating to your brain. So cutting back on that before bedtime and not using your laptop or your cell phone or iPad in bed. So I'm cutting that out and also practicing, you know, stress reduction techniques like, you know, meditation. Definitely those two. There's a lot more, but if I'd have to pick those two, then that's it.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's just to piggyback on that, that not all screens and all media are created equal. So I was listening to a different podcast today and someone said, well, I use my phone in bed because, I mean, if I'm not using my phone, I'm just going to watch TV and it's just another screen. So what's the difference? And there is a difference between using your phone to scroll social media and checking your email, because those are kind of activating your brain in a certain way. So looking at your own emails, looking at, you know, thinking about your work to-do list or looking at social media is very personal and activates your brain and your emotions in a way that passively watching TV does not. And so it is, you know, if you have to look at a screen or if television has to be part of your evening routine, that is different than scrolling your phone in bed. Just to differentiate that for people.
That's a great point. Yeah, that's absolutely a great point that you made.
Right. I think that it is important because I hear people say that, well, is it, I mean, sometimes I wake up and what am I supposed to do? I can only read so many books. Is it okay to turn on the TV? I think it is preferable to switch on the TV than it is to pick up your phone. Your phone is just so, so activating in a way that, that sometimes, you know, turning on that old episode of Law and Order can just put you right to sleep. But yes, I totally agree. Less technology, more stress reduction definitely can help, especially right now. So where can people, go ahead.
I said, just don't turn on the news.
No. Oh my gosh. Yes. Limit that as much as you can. It's right now I'm finding the best way for me to stay informed with a lot of the health news that's going on is just getting email updates from the CDC and from our local health departments, from our county health departments. They have great local daily updated little news tidbits. I feel like I'm staying informed, and it's just not as overwhelming as getting your news from social media, or two, getting your news from the television. That can be very stressful.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree.
So where can people learn more about you?
Well, I have a great website. It's drcarissa.com. It's actually spelled out, the DOCTOR, and then my name, CARISSA.com. So I have that website. There's a lot of great information in there too. I have a blog that has some great articles on hormones and weight loss. There's also some recipes in there too that my husband and I threw together. So definitely check out the website. I also have Facebook and Instagram. If you search for Dr. Carissa, you'll find me in there too.
All right. Wonderful. And I will include a link to your book in the show notes.
Great. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
Sorry, my phone was ringing.
Oh, yeah, no problem. You are busy. I get it. Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, take care.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Sleep Well, Stay Well. I hope you found that conversation with Dr. Carissa Allenott interesting and informative. I know I learned a few things. Please enjoy your week. Enjoy this wonderful season that we are heading into, the very last few weeks of summer officially, but it sure is feeling like fall around here. Next week, we will be delving into another topic that I think many people will be interested in, many people have asked me about, and it's something that I have been looking forward to researching for quite some time, and that is CBD oil and using CBD products for sleep. And I have a researcher who is going to help unpack what science says about using CBD products for sleep and anxiety. And it's a great episode. I think it's one you'll enjoy. You can reach me at Malia@sleepwellstable.com with sleep questions, comments, or ideas for a future episode. You can find the podcast on all the social media channels. You can find show notes and more information about my guests and each episode at sleepwellstable.com. And if this episode helped you, was enjoyable to you, or if any of my episodes have helped you, please take the time to rate and review this podcast. Doing so really helps podcasters to continue the work that they do. I would appreciate it. I look forward to seeing you next week with the episode on CBD. In the meantime, please sleep well and stay well. Bye-bye.
It's the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast, now you know. Thanks for checking out the show.